Now more than ever, you have more opportunities to be seen by an organic audience and get free traffic to your offers from people all over the globe. This is a wild time to be alive and an incredible opportunity to grow your business. I got another series for you. Welcome to part one of two, a series on overcoming obstacles that are preventing you from launching your first or next digital product. Today, we're talking about the fear and worry that creep in and the time it takes to get your product launched. Now, before I get into it, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you do not miss part two. And if you haven't already, follow me over on Instagram. You can find my profile. It's linked in the description, or you can head to Boss Project on Instagram. And my personal profile at Abigail Says is linked in the bio. This mini series was developed in conjunction with Digital Product Fast Track, a free challenge to take you from idea to launch in just one day. And it's not too late to join us. You can sign up now at bossproject.com/launch. Let's get into it. Obstacle number one, the idea of creating a digital product has you frozen with overwhelm, and you just don't know where to start. You've definitely come to the right place. I am a naturally anxious person, and I tend to absolutely get uptight about making decisions that feel really important. But I'm excited to tell you that this is not a decision that is going to make or break your business. You can change your mind as many times as you want or need to, and it's all going to be okay. I remember feeling really intimidated about making this choice in the past, worried that I needed to make the right one. But it has been far more important to me over time to learn from the things that I launch rather than worry that it's the right thing that I launched. But to make this process easy, one, I don't want you thinking about the whole thing. There's a lot of steps. There's a lot of little things you need to do along the way, but I want to take you through it step by step. And that's exactly why I've laid it all out for you inside Digital Product Fast Track. Inside the strategy portion of Milestone 1, I am really helping you make decisions, meaning we are going to only make one at a time. And I think when we break it down step by step like that, it's going to be so much easier for you to get across the finish line. Obstacle number two, you're scared of the visibility that may come with creating a digital product. What if people don't like what you have to say? I'm not going to lie. The visibility can be really intimidating. And I thought maybe it would get easier with time, but I still find myself anxious about people seeing my work, people reading my work, people hearing my voice. That being said, it is such an important piece because your work deserves to be out in the world, to be consumed, to be benefited from, and that's not possible unless you're willing to get visible. But regardless of what we're selling, whether it's a service, a physical product, anything, when we go to market ourselves, a natural part of that is the fact that we have to get in front of people. People need to discover us, learn what it is that we do, and earn a trust in what we're doing, and ultimately buy from us. But that's not possible unless they know we exist. One thing that's really helped me with this, though, is when I'm writing a piece of content or recording a video or making a podcast, I always think about the one person. I don't think about a room full of people listening to me or watching me or consuming my content. I think about sitting across from the one person that I want it to benefit. And when I put myself in that position, it feels like we're just chatting over a cup of coffee, and I can provide genuine value and insight based on their circumstances and the things they want and need. And it's not going to be for everyone, and that's okay. It does put you at risk of some people not liking what it is that you do, but for the most part, the majority of us aren't producing highly controversial content. We're trying to help people. We're trying to impact their lives, whether personally or professionally. And could you piss someone off along the way? Yeah. Could you make someone mad or trigger someone or receive hateful commentary? It's a possibility. And I've definitely been a part of that. I've had people call me names. I've had people comment on my appearance, whether that was warranted or asked for or not. And it does sting. But what helps is staying focused on your values. If you show up and you walk in those values, you will feel confident about the work you're putting out into the world. Ultimately, if someone wants to critique that, it's more of a reflection of them than it is of you. Now, not to say that there aren't certain people that deserve to give you criticism and you learn from it. There's been absolutely situations where I was ignorant and I needed to learn a lesson. And I took that and absorbed it and figured out how to react based on that information and move forward. But for the most part, this is not going to be as scary as you think it is, because you're not actually interacting with these people. You're not in the room with potentially tens of thousands of people. You're usually in the room all by yourself. I know for me, I find it a lot easier to record or create or even write when no one's around, even my own spouse. It's going to make me more comfortable and confident in producing the work I'm putting out into the world. The one last thing I'll say before we move on is people aren't necessarily like consuming your content and then continuing to linger on it. And I know that sounds a little bit strange, but one thing that's helped me feel better about this being perceived or having my content be seen is knowing that people are scrolling. Like, think about it yourself. I want you to put yourself in the shoes of a consumer, okay? I don't care if you're scrolling social media, watching videos on a social channel, consuming like an actual course, like it doesn't necessarily matter. I want you to think about in that situation, when you're consuming that content and you walk away, like, do you actually sit with it? The answer is probably not. Like, you see so much every single day, and very little of it is actually going to stick with you. Now, that being said, it doesn't mean that making someone laugh isn't going to let them hold on to that joy, or teaching someone a lesson isn't going to allow them to learn from it and allow them to grow from it, whether personally or professionally. It absolutely can. But they're not sitting there thinking about if you had something in your teeth or how you looked or how you presented yourself, if you were confident or not. None of those things. They're just scrolling on by or consuming on by and moving on to the next thing. Everyone is thinking far more about themselves than they are thinking about absolutely anyone else. Ultimately, you being visible is necessary and exciting. You get to be visible. Now more than ever, you have more opportunities to be seen by an organic audience and get free traffic to your offers from people all over the globe. This is a wild time to be alive and an incredible opportunity to grow your business. Obstacle number three, you're worried your digital product won't sell and you'll be a failure. Okay, but what if it doesn't? What if it doesn't sell? Is that actually a bad thing? Is something not working a negative? No, like absolutely not. If you think about the world of science, absolutely everything we've ever learned about the human body or our environment or species that walk this planet or stars in the sky, it all started as a guess. I think this might happen if I do this. You're launching a digital product with the assumption, I think people need this. I'm going to put it out into the world. and we're going to see what happens. And if you treat absolutely everything you do like an experiment, all of a sudden the pressure dissipates completely. It's not a did you win or did you lose? It's a what happened? What can I learn? How can I improve? What do I want to try next? Opportunity. It is such a huge opportunity to learn and gather new insights and new information and improve for next time. And so if you, quote, fail and don't sell any, there's a couple of things that that could mean. It could mean it wasn't put in front of enough people. You didn't have enough visibility. You didn't have enough eyeballs. You didn't have enough people consuming that content. You didn't have enough traffic to a sales page for it to convert. It could mean that your messaging is off, that people don't understand what it is that you're selling, that they don't get what they will get out of consuming it. And it could also mean that maybe they do understand it. Maybe there was enough traffic, but it doesn't solve either a big enough problem or a specific enough problem or a problem they're facing right now. You could have the right messaging and a ton of traffic, but if it's for the wrong set of people, then it might not convert. Now, how are you supposed to decipher which of those things it is? I think the traffic thing is pretty easy to tell. While you may be utilizing a sales page on Teachable, you can start to gather insights as to how many people landed there by using something like a Bitly link. So you could take that sales page link, put it in something like Bitly, and then you can actually look at the Bitly traffic and see how many people clicked to view this page. Now, that's not necessarily going to take into account the organic views. You know, I'm at the point where I tend to like to build more complicated sales pages on my own website. And with that, I have access to the analytics that are built into Squarespace, as well as the analytics on Google. And I can tell exactly how many people are visiting that page. I can even tell how many people are on that page right now. But that being said, if you were to create a Bitly and you were to launch this and you were going to give yourself 2 weeks for a beta launch, how much traffic is enough traffic? I would say like at the bare minimum, 100 people. You could still only see 1 to 2 conversions from 100 people, and those would have to be the right 100 people. I think you're going to start to see a lot more information after you've passed 1,000 views or more on your page. That's going to feel like a lot, but people are going to come back. People are going to revisit. People are going to click multiple times. People are going to interact multiple times. You're likely to convert the people that are the warmest, the fastest, and the people that are colder or brand new to your world may take a little bit longer to convert. Now, that being said, do I convert cold traffic every day? Yeah, I absolutely have people who didn't know who I was before, who visited my sales page for the first time, who checked out and went through all of the processes. Like, that does happen. But it's not a perfect world, and there's going to be other things that come into play. Now, okay, let's put aside traffic. How do you know it's messaging? You know, I think this is an opportunity to pull people. So I love a survey. If you have an email list and you put it out there and you're not seeing the kind of response that you thought you might, a great follow-up to a launch would be a survey post-launch to ask someone why they didn't purchase. You can ask a couple of questions, but you can learn so much from a post-launch survey. Is it required? No. But is it going to help you understand the needs of those people? Absolutely. Now, if you don't have an email list, don't worry. You can also ask your ideal clients. So it doesn't necessarily have to be someone who purchased from you. And it can be a little bit hard to do this in an unbiased way. However, I want you to try to gather at least 5 people that kind of fit the ideal markers of who you want to be working with. And, you know, ideally, these people are people you actually know and have a relationship with. But if not, you want to strike up a conversation and say, I just want some feedback on my sales page. Like, no pressure to purchase. I just genuinely want to know a couple of things. And I would ask them specific questions. Like, what do you believe it is that I'm selling? What transformation do you think that it will provide? How challenging do you think it will be to complete? How long do you think it will take to complete? Basically, reverse engineering. Do they actually know what it is, who it's for, what it's going to do for them, all of those things? And if their answers come out wonky, then it's probably a messaging thing. Now, if it comes back and you're like, well, that was good and traffic was good. Okay, well, by process of elimination, then it may very well be that it's either not a big enough problem, not an important enough problem, not a problem that is priority enough. And that's okay. It may just mean you need to tackle a different problem altogether with a different digital product. And that's totally fine. Like, that's not the end of the world. The whole point of launching on pre-sales anyway is to be able to gather this information before you produce the product. So if ultimately no one purchases, you're really only out the time it took to market it, not also the time it took to build it, because theoretically you haven't yet built the thing that it is that you're putting out into the world. Want to learn exactly step-by-step how to get paid to generate leads in your business? I've kept these details to myself for far too long. I'm ready to spill everything and give you the exact steps that help me generate tens of thousands of qualified leads and millions in low-ticket digital product sales. I won't just show you what I did, but teach you how you can do it too. I'm talking not just how to create low-ticket digital products, but also showing you how to use them strategically to generate leads for your other existing or future offers. I'm sharing it all at bossproject.com/jumpstart, including exactly how I made $8,033 and generated 277 leads my very first month selling digital products. Find out more at bossproject.com/jumpstart. When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. Get unparalleled access to job seekers with over 350 million unique monthly visitors globally, according to Indeed data, and an extended reach through Glassdoor. I love that Indeed makes it easy to hire because I'm busy enough already. When we've hired in the past, the process was full of unqualified applicants. With Indeed, we can target the right candidates for the right position. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/strategy hour. Just go to Indeed.com/strategy hour right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/strategy hour. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Obstacle number four. You want to create something that is truly useful for your audience, but you don't know what it is. Now, I can't say without a doubt that this is the situation that you're in. However, most people that go out and launch something are serving people that are like them, that were them. That were the things that you used to struggle with or that you used to be challenged by. It's just like a natural part of life that we want to help people get to where we are. Now, it's not to say that you can't have a different ideal client that's different from who you are, but you would have needed a lot of interaction with this type of person to truly understand their needs, wants, and desires. It is much easier to serve people that are like a past version of ourselves. And we can go back in time in our minds and think about what were the things I was challenged with when I was in this position that is most similar to the shoes they're in right now. And then I want you to ask yourself, What tools? What templates? What strategies? What scripts? What got you unstuck? What helped you solve that problem? And the things that sell best are things we've used, are things we've used before and have benefited from. So, you know, is it a spreadsheet you've created for yourself to track XYZ thing? Is it a list you put together of resources for this type of thing? Is it things you've discovered over time and you can compile that all in one position? I want you to think about what are the things that helped you get to where you are? Because that's the whole point. We're trying to solve a problem. We are trying to help someone go from point A to point B. And point A to point B needs to be fairly transactional when we get into the digital product realm. If you're like, oh my God, I needed this and this and this and this and this and this and this to go from here to there, then maybe that's too big of a problem for a digital product. That might make sense for, you know, a group coaching program or a signature course or even a one-on-one service. But if you're thinking it's got 75 components, you're probably trying to put too much into this thing. Simplify, 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 simplify. Okay. I just got off the phone with someone a couple of days ago. He is in the home building niche. Okay. So he has a background in construction and his digital product is the ultimate home builder's guide checklist. It's literally a list of things that you need to think about or consider if you're building your first or next house. And that list, when you go through it, is going to help you compile all the things that you need to communicate to your builder so that you get the house that you want. It's a PDF. Like, it might be an Excel spreadsheet. I'm a little bit unsure on that. But ultimately, it's a list. Like, this is not complicated. Now, do I think that's a beefy digital product because that list is going to be long and hefty and have a ton of components? Yeah. But, you know, maybe it's not an entry point digital product, but it is still simple. You know, he could provide 1,000 things to help you get the house that you want when you're going through the construction process, but he distilled it down to a tool that is going to help you communicate your needs, wants, and desires with another key player in this process. Often the things that are the most useful to other people are the things we take for granted. Like, let that sink in. Like, the things that are most useful to other people are the things we take for granted. Okay, what am I taking for granted? What do I know? Or what do I do? Or what activity do I take? What's my routine around XYZ thing that I take for granted and just do naturally? Those are things that can turn around and be taught and even sold. I remember back in the day, I've had a lot of different businesses, okay? This business is absolutely my primary one. I love to educate. I love to teach other small business owners. But I've had some hankerings, okay? So at one point, I was doing some health coaching because I was going through my own health transformation after my car accident. And regardless, part of that was talking about food. I talked a ton about food and I talked a lot about grocery shopping. And I developed a system because I used to get incredibly overwhelmed by dinner. Like, I know that sounds goofy, but like, I would get off of work. I even work from home at this point. I would get off of work. I would go to the fridge. I would stare at the fridge and like want to sob because one, I was already starving by the time I got to the fridge. Two, I was frustrated because someone else didn't just magically do it for me. I wasn't communicating my needs to my partner. Like, there was a lot going on here. Okay. And so I needed to solve this problem for myself, or I was either going to get divorced or like never hit any of the health goals that I had for myself. So I was like, what's going to work for me? Ultimately, I came up with a meal planning system that helps me get the right groceries in my house every single week so that I'm no longer stressed about dinner time. Now, the system is not complicated, but I remember the first time I taught it to someone else, they were like, this is freaking mind-blowing. And I was like, guys, I literally just made a list and went to the grocery store and got the things, and now I know what I can make this week for dinner. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you need to think about a problem that was just driving you mad, and then you came up with a simple solution that other people haven't implemented. Now, you might be sitting here thinking, well, there's a gajillion meal plans out there. Why would I want to create another one? Well, because you haven't done it yet. I don't know how else to explain this, but you're going to have your own approach that's different than everyone else. Now, if you're going to go out and buy someone else's meal plan, copy paste it into your own document, redesign it and sell it, that is unethical. That is stealing. But you saying, I had this problem, this is how I fixed it, and this was my unique approach that, while similar to some things other people do, it is my version. That is okay. That is okay. And it's going to sell well. Now, I ultimately utilized that concept in a lot of free content and didn't end up turning it into a digital product, but I absolutely could have. And I am fully confident, based on the millions of dollars in sales I've had inside Boss Project, that it would have worked incredibly well. So I want you thinking about a problem that was just driving you absolutely mad, and what was the solution you came up with? And you may, in some ways, think of it as an accommodation. Like, I had to build this thing to, like, make my life easier, or I was going to go crazy. Perfect. That's it. That's what you're doing. Okay? That is what you're doing. Now, if it doesn't already exist because you had to learn 1,000 different things and then you piece together a ton of different strategies, and, like, now you just do it naturally, but you never wrote all that down, okay, then you haven't developed it yet, but you also know the answer. The fact that you care so much about it being truly useful is highlighting just how much you care about your audience. You want this to be a game changer. You want this to impact them. You standing in that value is showing so much integrity that I'm confident you already have the right mindset to come out on the other side and help people. It's not about hitting the nail on the head. We don't have to get there with the very first thing that we launch every single time. We simply need to make that transition. How are we going to get there? What's going to happen? What do we need to do to help people get to the other side? And if this person wasn't us and it wasn't something that we were solving, I would question a little bit, like, why is that person your ideal client? And you may very well have a solid reason, but you might be thinking, okay, say I do have a solid reason. It wasn't me, but I've helped other people in this way. I want you to be thinking about perhaps something that you've been doing in a one-on-one environment. How could you take a small piece of a service that you're already performing, a teeny tiny piece of it, and help them just get through step one of 50? You know? Obstacle number 5. You want income that isn't tied to your time, but you're too busy to actually create your product. I honestly had to sit with this one. I had to sit and think about it, because I know that this can feel so real. And I was initially planning to say, you're just not paying attention to the time you do have. But I don't necessarily think that is the right answer. I truly know there are seasons of life that we don't have time. I can absolutely think about them in my own. times when I was sick, times when I was caring for someone else, times I was distracted, times I was busy because I had other priorities, whether that was moving my house or working on an addition or whatever. It didn't necessarily matter. There have been times in my life where this would have been so much. However, I have two questions for you. Is this a priority? Because if it is, then you very well may need to let something else go. And I'm not suggesting it's the thing that you're thinking is taking up all of your time. Like, if you have a health thing going on, I'm not suggesting you back burner the health thing, because that should stay your number one priority. But is there something else that you're currently feeling obligated to do that isn't actually helping you get you to where you want to go? Or maybe it's become busy work and that you just feel this necessity to stay in this cycle. I also think it often doesn't take nearly as long as we think it does to develop. Now, if you were going to say, I'm developing a signature course, I truly, absolutely, with balancing work and other obligations, planning out the curriculum, writing, like all of the things that go into that, it could take me a solid 30 days to go from start to finish on that, making significant amount of time for it every single week. But a digital product, you should be able to develop from start to finish, like all the components that go into it, not just the launch part, but like the actual thing you're delivering in a Saturday. And I'm not saying you should do it on Saturday, but that's what I mean. Like, you wake up, you have a leisurely breakfast, you work on this most of the day, you maybe grab some dinner with your spouse, watch a show or two, come back and finish up a couple things. Maybe you need to polish things up the following week. But like, in reality, if a digital product is taking you longer than 1 to 2 days to produce, you might have to break it up. I get for some people, they would need to do a little bit at a time. Totally fine. I have found that creating like a protected space and time is going to make it far easier for me to hit that goal than to try to do a chunk here, a chunk there, a chunk here, a chunk there. There are some bigger projects that you have to do that for, but this is not one of them. That being said, there is a ton of time wasted all the time. Like, if you were to look at your phone and look at your time usage, guarantee you, you're going to be shocked by how much it says you're scrolling. Okay, maybe you're like, no, I literally don't even have time for that right now. Okay, well, is there a way you can ask for help? I know that that feels hard. Like, I know it feels hard. I know it feels hard. But I have absolutely been in a position in my life and in my business where I needed someone to take something off my plate. And it was easier to have someone do that in my personal life to get the time and space I needed in my business working life. So maybe you need your spouse to make dinner for a week. Maybe you need someone to pick up the kids. Maybe, like, what is it? Like, what would buy back some of that time? Maybe you need a sitter. Maybe you need a friend to come watch someone. Like, it can happen. It's just a matter of priorities. Now, all of this to say, I do not want to discount that sometimes the number one priority is so big, we cannot fathom doing one more thing. And if that's where you're at, I would much prefer you rest and you focus on that thing. And when you're ready, this will be waiting for you. This mini series was developed in conjunction with Digital Product Fast Track, a free challenge to take you from idea to launch in just one day. You can sign up now at bossproject.com/launch. If you need a script or a template or a PDF or whatever, we have tried to make absolutely everything you're going to need to go from idea to launch in one day. So all of this is laid out for you step by step by step with all the templates necessary, with all the tech walkthroughs necessary. And we are going to make this as easy as possible. You can sign up now at bossproject.com/launch. Hey, a few quick favors before you leave. I'd love if you'd share today's episode, send it to a friend who needs to hear it, and post on social. You can show us where you're listening from, your favorite takeaway, or why someone else should listen. Be sure to tag me at Abigail Says and at Boss Project so we can share it. Okay, second favor, to get podcast updates and all the behind the scenes news from Boss Project, I'd love if you'd join my VIP list. Just head to bossproject.com/signup to make sure I have all your contact details. Really love this show? It would mean so much to me if you'd leave a rating and review. It not only helps more listeners find the show, but allows us to bring on quality sponsors so we can keep bringing you this valuable content for free. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.